If you follow big-time college sports as I do, it has been apparent that the student-athlete in Division I schools is an oxymoron. There are occasional stories of the college graduate who reads at the third-grade level of the football star who couldn't find a classroom on campus. Now, however, a scandal has been reported bigger than any previously mentioned. It involves bogus classes and inflated grades at the University of North Carolina, encompassing more than 3,000 students over two decades. According to the report by former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein, football and basketball players took no-show courses in the college's African and Afro-American studies programs, earning passing grades. Students didn't have to show up for what was deemed a shadow curriculum in the 1993 to 2011 period. Within this period, the cherished NC basketball team won three of its five national titles, and Coach Dean Smith was virtually beatified by alumni members as a venerable state leader. Two people at the center of the controversy, former department chair Julius Nyang Oro and retired administrator Deborah Crowder, have been cooperating with Mr. Weinstein after criminal charges were dropped. School Chancellor Carol Folt characterized the matter as a case where you have bad actions of a few and inaction of many more. This latest inquiry comes on the heels of an investigation by former Governor Jim Martin, who found that there were lecture classes in the 1990s that never met. Mr. Crowder claimed she simply wanted to help students who weren't supported by the university. This, of course, is a curious way of providing assistance. Mr. Nyang Oro admitted to leniency, but dereliction of responsibility goes beyond leniency. This was a case of awarding high grades for little or no performance. And despite protestations of innocence, every administrator in the university and every coach in the football and basketball programs had to know what was going on. The report noted that counselors working with these athletes often steered players to the non-existent courses. Others complained to Ms. Crowder that conventional courses athletes would have been obliged to take were far too demanding. Clearly, this isn't the only example of academic fraud, since even stellar institutions such as Duke, Harvard, and Naval Academy have been tainted by scandal with student-athletes in recent years. But the North Carolina example stands out as an egregious case of systematic institutional abuse. Clearly, big-time college sports generate big-time television contracts and big-time money. Star athletes are really not expected to be students. When Johnny Football Manziel was at Texas A&M, he did not take any courses on campus. All his work was done online. There is barely kept secret about Division I athletes, in which the NCAA is complicit. These athletes are not expected to be students. The amateur tradition is dead, a casualty of money and alumni bragging rights. Perhaps it's time to excoriate the hypocrisy and admit, as John Calipari, the University of Kentucky basketball coach, does, that he doesn't expect his players to stay in school for more than 1 year. In his mind, they are at Kentucky to refine their skills for a pro career. Academic work was for another time, an earlier generation. I can recall a moment at Columbia in the 1950s when I was on the basketball team and the number one player in the nation was suspended for a semester after cheating on an exam. There wasn't any fuss, no newspaper account, and no alumni uproar. Basketball players in yesteryear were expected to be students. Some failed in their academic work, but the expectation wasn't compromised. It would seem that university integrity has been sacrificed for the lure of the bitch goddess Mammon. College athletics has been a semi-professional affair, and ethical standards at Division I schools are very often in a state of perpetual relativism.